We shall turn now to the Word of God, to the book of Exodus, chapter 28. We may read from verse 33 just now, Exodus chapter 28, verse 33. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. The words that we would particularly seek to consider and meditate upon are those words, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. His sound shall be heard. This was to be a most peculiar sound. There was no other sound that would be like it in the whole camp of Israel. It was appointed for a very special reason. It is the sound that comes from the hem of the garment of the priest in Israel as he ministers to the Lord. But it is not a self-appointed sound. It is not something that either Moses or Aaron or anyone else in the camp thought might add some particular beauty to the garment of the high priest. It is a sound that is specially pleasing to God. It is the sound that he himself wanted to hear when the priest ministered in his service. And as we know, the priest in the Old Testament was the type of the great high priest who is after the order of Melchizedek. So whatever we may learn about the priest and his service and his garments in the Old Testament has some spiritual significance when we come to consider the antitype, the fulfillment of the type itself. Now, one of the interesting things is that while we have such a detailed description of the garments of the priest, the one who is after the order of Melchizedek, there is no description, although Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God. He met Abraham, and he was the priest of the Most High God. We have no description as to what he looked like, or what his apparel was, or what his dress was. That is all hidden from us. But we learn something of the spiritual significance of the great high priest within the veil, engaged in the service of God as the appointed Redeemer, when we consider something of the apparel of the typical priest. And here we are told that when he was engaged in the service of the Lord, when he went in before the Lord, there went with him this peculiar sound, because in the bottom of the hem of his garment, Moses was instructed that there should be these pomegranates. Some think they were embroidered onto the hem of the priest's garment. Others believe, and it seems more likely, that they were sewed on like tassels between the bells that were around the hem of the garment of the priest, but they both had a significance. The bells had their own significance, and the pomegranates had their own particular significance before God, because remember, he ordained that this would be the apparel of the priest. Now, there are a number of things that we would seek to consider about these bells, and that's what we want to concentrate upon. His sound, because the pomegranates didn't make a sound, it was the bells that made the sound, and it is that sound that we want to concentrate upon. His sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place that is before the Lord. The first thing that we must note about these bells that create this sound before God is that the sound is a divinely devised sound. It was a sound that God himself devised and desired to hear when Aaron or his sons would be engaged in the service of God. If you go back in the chapter 28 and to the verse 2, we read there, "Thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." They were for this purpose before the Lord. They were for glory and beauty, so that the priest appearing before God was displayed or arrayed in garments of glory, magnifying his office, but in garments of beauty, as God saw it. But then we're told in verse 3, "Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." You will see the origin of these garments, including the bells and the pomegranates. God told Moses that he was to speak unto all that are wise-hearted, those who had skills, those who had wisdom and skills to produce these garments of beauty and glory. And why was he to consult with them? Because they are those whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. These garments result from the divine wisdom of God. They fulfill a particular purpose before God. I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. So behind the bells that will make this sound, and the very sound itself, is the divine purpose of God and the workings of God in particular individuals to give to them, to bestow upon them, the wisdom and the skill to produce this sound. It is God's sound, and he has given these particular individuals the skills to produce the sound as he wanted it to be. If you go over to chapter 38, you will see their mention of particular individuals. Verse 21 of Exodus 38, "This is the sum of the tabernacle, even of the tabernacle of testimony, as it was counted according to the commandment of Moses, for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son to Aaron the priest, and Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord commanded Moses, and with him was Aholiab, son of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a cunning workman, and an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet and fine linen and so on. So God himself gave the skills to produce these bells and thus to produce this sound that was so pleasing and so beautiful in the presence of God. Now we shall see, I believe, that these bells and the pomegranates as well have a very spiritual significance when they direct us to the great high priest, none other than the Savior himself. We do not read of him displayed in garments like this. We read of him in his humility, setting aside his ordinary garments, kneeling to wash the feet of his disciples. He did not in his humility, in his humiliation, he was not arrayed in garments of glory and beauty at all. It was the opposite. When many saw him, they saw no beauty that they should desire him. There was nothing like here the garments of the high priest. Nevertheless, he had his own particular heavenly beauty. Now, this sound then, when we read these words, his sound shall be heard when he goeth into the holy place before the Lord. God immediately recognized the sound because it was by his own ordination. He was the one who had given the wisdom and the skills to produce this sound in his holy presence. This was part of the display of the glory and the beauty of the high priest going about the service of the Lord. But then because it was so, it is stated here, it is his sound. It was the sound that belonged exclusively to the priest, no one else. Nowhere else could you hear this sound in the whole camp of Israel. You might hear the sound of the trumpet on occasions when Israel would set forth on their journey, or when it was sounded as a warning, you might hear that particular sound and everyone knew its significance and its meaning. There were more than one ready to blow the trumpet, but this sound is peculiar. And it is the sound that is heard only when the priest is engaged in the service of God. This sound is only heard when he is making his approach to God, when he goeth in unto the holy place. So it was a very distinctive sound. No other Israelite, no matter what he was doing, could express any sound so glorious, so pleasant to God as this sound, because he devised it, he could say of it, as in the creation, it is very good. It was a sound that pleased him. It was a sound that was pleasing to God because it was of his own devising. But then this sound was the sound of approach unto God. You see, the priest didn't go around in these garments whenever he thought fit, or whenever he wanted to display his glory, when he wanted to draw attention to himself. He could, if he'd been of that mind, kept these garments of glory and beauty as a display, drawing attention to his person and his office and his importance as one consecrated to the service of God. But that was not the purpose of it. It was the purpose of God that these garments were significant in the presence of God himself. His sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place. There was no other sound. When the priest went in before the Lord, there was no other sound. That was the only sound there was. And there was no sound unless he was actually engaged in the service of God. If he was still, if he was not active, there was no sound. It was as he moved, as his garments moved, the hem of the garment touching his feet or his heels as he moved in the service of God, so the sound arose in the presence of God, and God heard it, and God was delighted with it. But it was the sound that God recognized as the approaching sound of the high priest. He knew when he heard that sound that his appointed servant was approaching into his presence. And remember what is written here. He was to have this sound in the presence of God, but also when he cometh out, that he die not. In other words, if that sound was not heard, he would die. It was obviously then recognized as part of his ministry, part of his service to God, to bring this sound into God's presence, to come with these garments of glory and beauty, with the pomegranates and the bells ringing around the bottom of his garment. Now, because the pomegranates, they are described, verse 33, the pomegranates were to be of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and the bells of gold between them round about. Now the garments were the garments of glory and beauty. They were attractive to the eye. And you imagine if you're an Israelite, you're one in the camp of Israel, and you observe the priest and he's moving in his garments, and you're attracted to the breastplate and the glittering stones and the stones upon his shoulders glittering in the eastern sun as he goes in before the Lord. But then you see with these beautiful garments, the pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet. And because they are with the bells on the bottom of the, on the hem of the garment, they draw attention not merely to themselves, but to the bells. As the eye goes to see the beauty in the pomegranates, so the eye then casts upon the bells that are making this blessed sound in the presence of God. But we are told that these bells, not only did they sound the approach of the high priest, but we're told when he cometh out, these bells were still making a joyful sound, a pleasant sound to God, because they were announcing his acceptance with God. They were announcing to the Israelites, I have been in the presence of God, and I have been accepted. I have not died. The bells sounded on my behalf. The bells sounded my approach to God. the bells were sounding pleasing to God as I went about his service. And now as he comes retracing his steps back into the camp, the bells are still sounding. He's alive. He has not died. He has found acceptance with God. The sound has pleased God. And that is because of the significance of both the pomegranates and the bells operating in harmony on the hem of the garment of the priest. Now, because these were the garments that the Lord had appointed, Aaron dare not appear in the presence of God without them. Now, you have to understand, he wore different garments on the Day of Atonement. He wore a linen garment. You remember that he would be engaged in offering sacrifices. And no doubt his garments and his body would be spattered with blood on the Day of Atonement, making sacrifices, slaying beasts, blood being shed. But these are garments of glory and beauty. They serve a different purpose. And when Aaron or his sons were clothed in these garments, they had the right then to approach unto God. Without these garments, they could not be recognized as having any right into the presence of God. And so when the bells were sounding, it was the sound of the priest. God recognized that's the sound that can only come from him. That is the sound of the one who's clothed in these garments. That is the sound of the one who has the right to approach unto me. And of course, these things are all pointing us forward to the great high priest who has entered into the holy place, not made with hands. The one who has entered into heaven itself. The very sound of his approach is sweeter than any sound that could possibly come from the bells on the garments of Aaron. But nevertheless, these are typifying the sweet sound of the glorious gospel, as we shall see. Now then, as we already indicated, it is the sound of divinely accepted service. You see, Aaron, or any of his sons, they did not come to do their own service. They had no right to dress in these garments of glory and beauty unless they were actually engaged in God's service. These were not for display. These were not to draw attention to them. These garments were to please God in his divinely appointed service. Now we get a little, I suppose, of a glimpse onto the glorious display in the garments of the great high priest when we go to Revelation chapter 1 that we've looked at so often. John tells us of one appearing who's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in Revelation chapter 1, he describes what he sees and the one who is appareled in his presence. I turned in verse 12 of chapter 1 to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. And you can see that this is a display of divine glory, the glory of the exalted Redeemer. But going back to Exodus, his sound shall be heard. It's the sound of intercession. Why did he go into the presence of God? Why did he go before the Lord? Because he was a mediator between God and the children of Israel. They did not approach unto God individually as such. They depended upon this one with this sound appearing before God on their behalf. And that sound then was a very important sound for the children of Israel as well as for the priest himself. If you go to the book of Psalms, you will see, we often sing it, Psalm 89, and there we have a blessing pronounced upon a people who know the joyful sound. Psalm 89, verse 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk in thy presence, in the light of thy countenance. Why? Because they know in their experience, they have heard the joyful sound. They have heard the sound of the bells of the great advocate. They have heard the sound by faith of the one who has interceded on their behalf, the one who has gone into God's presence on their behalf to intercede for them. Now, you will find that the pomegranates appear again and again in connection with the temple of God, not just with this, with the tabernacle, but with the very temple. If you go, for example, over to 1 Kings chapter 7, Solomon is erecting the great temple to the glory of God. And this is one of the features of this magnificent temple. Chapter 7 of 1 Kings and verse 18. He made the pillars and two rows round about upon the one network to cover the chapiters that were upon the top with pomegranates. And so did he for the other chapiter. And the chapiters that were upon the top of the pillars were of lily work in the porch 4 cubits. And the chapiters upon the 2 pillars had pomegranates. Also above over against the belly which was by the network. And the pomegranates were 200 in rows round about upon the other chapiter. Now you can see that in the display and the architecture and the grandeur that was to display the majesty of God are pomegranates. Now we might then ask, well, why would these pomegranates be associated with the worship of God? And why would they be here on the garments of glory and of beauty? Actually, when we read here of them in this chapter 28 of Exodus, this is actually the first time in Scripture that we read of them. And that is its own significance. It was as though God had a special claim upon these pomegranates. In a certain sense, they were as first fruits unto the Lord. Now you remember when spies were sent into the land to seek out the land before Joshua would go in to possess it. They came back with figs and grapes and pomegranates. Now, down in Egypt, the children of Israel had no pomegranates. In their bondage, they had leeks and onions and so on, and they complained to Moses at one time that they were missing these leeks and garlic and onions and so on from Egypt. There's no mention of pomegranates. Pomegranates belonged to the promised land. Pomegranates were the fruit of the divine promise of God. And they had a significance then before God when the priest went into the presence of God with the garments of glory and beauty. The bells were ringing out a blessed message. They were ringing out a message of approach unto God in a manner that was pleasing to him. But also when he came out again, they were ringing out a glorious message of acceptance to the people. But why the pomegranates? Well, you see, the bells were ringing out a message before God, drawing the attention of God, as it were, to these garments, including the pomegranates. So what was the message? Reminding God of his own covenant, because these were the fruits of redemption. Children of Israel never had pomegranates until they came out of Egypt and until the promise of God was fulfilled. These were the fruits of God's promise. These were the fruit of God's covenant promise being fulfilled. They were the fruits of redemption. They were bound up with the redemption of the children of Israel. And therefore, when the priest went into the presence of God, the bells were sounding to God, reminding him of his covenant promises, reminding him of the fruit that was the promise in the land that was to flow with milk and honey, reminding him of his covenant of redemption. Now you will remember in the last chapter of the little prophecy of Hosea, God is speaking of Ephraim, and Ephraim is in a sorry state spiritually, but one of the things that God says is this: thy fruit is from me. Thy fruit is not of yourself, but it is of me. And the children of Israel knew when God brought them out of Egypt that when he took them into the promised land, all the fruit there was from God. It was the fruit of his promise. It was the fruit of redemption. Had they still been in Egypt, they would not have had these pomegranates. They would not have enjoyed these spiritual benefits and these material benefits that typified them. His sound shall be heard when he goeth in to the holy place before the Lord. In the sounding of the bells, as we said, attention then is drawn to the promises that God had made. Here they are, traveling through the wilderness, the tabernacle is set up, the people are encamped around it, and the high priest is engaged in the service of God. And as he goes about his service, God is hearing the sound of the bells. And it is, as it were, drawing the attention of God to his own promises. It was as though the high priest was interceding for the people, as the mediator of an unworthy people. And when you read of God's descriptions of them to Moses, he said they were a stiff-necked people, they were a striving people, they were a murmuring people, they were a complaining people, and they were lamenting and complaining through the wilderness journey. But here's the great high priest typified here, coming before God, reminding God of his promises, reminding him of what he had promised to his redeemed people. And of course, this directs our attention forward to a greater than Aaron, one who is of a different order, one who is of the order of Melchizedek, a great high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What sound then does he bring? What sound is pleasing to God from him? It cannot be less than the glorious sound of the gospel itself, the gospel bells ringing out the glorious message of redemption and the fruits of redemption to the whole earth. Remember that this sound was only heard in the camp of Israel. It wasn't heard in the land of the Gentiles or the uncircumcised. It was only heard where the high priest was engaged in the service of God. But the glorious Christ, he is ascended on high. He has entered into the service of God in that holy place, not made with hands, and is here, the Aaron or his sons, they carried with them this sound when they went in unto the holy place before the Lord. Christ is exalted, the great high priest is gone into the holy place before the Lord. Here his garments of glory and beauty, the garments of his exaltation, we see him throughout the Gospels in his garments of humiliation. Not the garments of his glory and beauty, but the garments of his humiliation. But in John chapter 17, what is he praying to his Father? He's praying, Father, glorify me. I have glorified thee in the earth. Now glorify me. And when he ascends into his Father's presence, he is arrayed in the glorious garments of glory and beauty. He is exalted. He is given a name which is above every other name. He is there in the Father's presence, exalted on high, manifesting the glory that he had with the Father from the beginning. But then, what do these pomegranates and bells typify with regard to his ministry? Well, the pomegranates are the fruit of promise. They are the fruit of redemption. And Christ has ascended on high, and he has given gifts to men, and he has procured for them the fulfillment of all the promises of redemption. It is because he's engaged in the service of God because he has entered into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, to appear before God, he has procured for them, just like Joshua going into the promised land, defeating the enemies of Israel, he procured for them the pomegranates in the land of promise. Without conquering the land, they'd no right to those fruits. But Joshua led them in, and then they partook of them. They became their possession. They might know they were there. They'd had the report back. The spies had returned, and they said, it's a land of plenty. It's a land, as God described it, flowing with milk and honey. But then what were they saying? Some of the spies were saying, there's giants in the land. We cannot possibly conquer it. We cannot take it. But Joshua and Caleb were of a different spirit. And the day came when Joshua led them into the land to take possession of the fruits that God had promised and the blessings that God had promised. The glorious Christ ascended on high, and he procured all the blessings of the covenant for his people. And when he appears in the presence of God, the glorious sound of the bells are reminding God of all his obligations to his poor people. All the promises are to be fulfilled in and through Christ. He is the great advocate of his people with the Father, and he's engaged in the service of God, and he draws nigh to God, and the glorious sound that is his distinctive sound is the sound of the speaking blood. The glorious sound of the gospel itself. No bells on the garments of the high priest ever sounded so blessed, so sweet, as the sound of the speaking blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel's. And he has entered into the presence of God, and the speaking blood that stained his garments, that speaking blood has procured all the blessings of the covenant, all the blessings of redemption, all the promised blessings that God has assured his people he will give to them. But it is also to be understood that these bells were sounding out a sound of peace. When the priest returned from the presence of God, he cometh out, and he's alive. What does that mean? It means he has procured peace between God and his people. The bells have sounded sweetly in the ears of God, and the person who wears the garments and carries the sound into God's presence, he is accepted. But because he is accepted, those whom he represents are accepted. There is peace between God and them. Now you think of how God smote the children of Israel again and again for their murmurings, their complainings against God. They wanted more than the manna. They wanted meat. They wanted water. They didn't trust God. They complained in their unbelief. And God would have been perfectly justified in scattering them there in the wilderness and abandoning them and leaving them because of their unbelief. But here is one appointed to come before God, typifying the great intercessor coming in to God's presence on behalf of this unworthy people. and the bells are sounding, drawing attention to the pomegranates that God had promised, drawing attention to his covenant promises, drawing attention to his redemptive promises, the gifts and the blessings that result from redemption. That is what here then we have before us. His sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place. God recognizes that sound as no other sound can ever be. It is the distinctive sound of his own son. The priest, of course, typified the greater high priest. The sound typified a greater sound, a more glorious sound, a more blessed sound. And you and I either hear that sound or we don't hear it. As we already mentioned there in Psalm 89, how blessed are those who know the joyful sound. You take the Israelites, they observe the priest in his garments, they know why he's dressed in them, they understand perfectly he's going to go into the holy place, he's going to go into God's presence. And he's not going in just to visit God personally. He's going in our behalf. And they wait in silence, listening to the bells sounding within the veil, the bells sounding in the presence of God. And then he returns, and the bells are still sounding, and they're speaking peace. God has accepted you. God is holding out his promises now to you. Through the mediation of the priest, the advocate, the people outside depending on him, looking to him, trusting in him, they now can rest at peace. We are reconciled to God. The priest, of course, on the Day of Atonement took blood into the presence of God. He had to take that blood. Otherwise he would die. And it is the same here. Without the bells and without that sound, he would not be recognized as the high priest at all. And Christ, without the sound of his victory, without the sound of his triumph, without the sound of his grace, would not be a fit high priest. He could not achieve, he could not accomplish peace for his people. But he has. But the thing is this, are we deaf to that sound? Have we ever heard it? Have we ever heard the sweet sound of the gospel ringing in our ears? The sweet sound of God's promises. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The blessed sweet promises of eternal life. The promises of the forgiveness of sins. The promise that God will blot out the sins of his people as with a thick cloud. What blessed, blessed promises there are. Innumerable promises. Promise that was to the children of Israel was they would enjoy the blessings of the promised land that would flow with milk and honey. And that typifies the greater land of promise that Abraham and the patriarchs were looking for. Pilgrims and strangers passing through this world. But because they were looking for the better country, they had the promise of the better country. They knew God had promised it, and they knew that the glorious Redeemer had procured it for them. And they heard the glorious sound, the bells of promise, the bells, the covenant, bells of promise that were attached to the garments of Christ's own humanity or humiliation, and then his glorification. Have we heard that sound? Have we heard? Have we listened? Have we listened for the sound of peace? Have we listened for the sound of reconciliation? Have we taken heed to the sound of his promises, or are we sitting here this evening ignoring them? Ignoring the great high priest himself, Jesus Christ, who has gone within the veil. And that one through his servants, who is sending out his sound through all the earth. Jesus appears by his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the great agency of the exalted Christ. And he commissioned, before he went, his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Carry the sound, the sweet sound of the gospel that God himself delights to hear. Carry that sound to the ends of the earth. But who is listening? Who is paying heed? Who is listening to the sound of the gospel? You imagine the children of Israel ignoring such a sound. God pleased with it, and they're ignoring it. God is pleased with the sound of the gospel. God is pleased with the promises of the gospel. God is pleased with his own covenant that he has made with Christ for the sake of sinners. And yet how many simply pay no attention. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. There is no sound like it. There is no other sound that can compare with it. There is no other sound that will make the sinner accept it. There was no other sound would make one Israelite accept it with God but that sound. It was so important, and there's no other sound that will make a sinner acceptable except the glorious sound of the gospel of redeeming grace, the sound of the gospel of Christ crucified. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We are blessed if we know we have heard that sound, and in Christ, who brings the sound into God's presence, we are accepted in the Beloved, and we receive the fulfillment of all the blessings that are promised in that gospel. May we hear that sound in our souls. May he bless his word. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, open our ears to hear that sweet sound that is even sweeter than the sound that was heard in the camp of Israel. Oh, may we hear the sound of the glorious bells of the gospel, that we might partake of the great benefits bound up with that gospel. Oh, do thou open our ears, the ears of young and old alike, that we might experience the blessing of those who rejoice in that sound. Oh, may we hear the great high priest, active in the service of interceding for his people. Hear us then, pardon us and accept us. For Christ's sake alone, Amen.